Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The New Silk Roads by historian Peter Frankopan explores how power, money, and influence are shifting toward Asia in the 21st century. Building on the idea that the old Silk Roads once linked civilizations through trade, culture, and empire, the book reframes today's world as a new web of connections shaped by energy routes, infrastructure projects, technology, finance, and geopolitics. Frankopan surveys how China, India, Russia, Iran, Turkey, the Gulf states, and Central Asia are repositioning themselves, and how their choices affect Europe and the United States. Rather than treating Asia as a distant theater, the narrative presents it as the central arena where strategic competition, economic growth, and political experimentation converge. The book is written for readers who want a big-picture explanation of why global priorities are changing, why new corridors matter, and why the rules of international order are increasingly contested by actors with different histories, interests, and visions for the future. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a shifting center of gravity from the Atlantic to Eurasia. A core theme is that the world's strategic and economic center is moving away from the long Atlantic-dominated era and toward a broad Eurasian and Indo-Pacific space. Frankopan describes how demographic momentum, expanding consumer markets, and rapid capital formation are altering where growth and innovation occur. This shift is not presented as a simple replacement of one hegemon with another, but as a rebalancing that increases the importance of middle powers and regional coalitions. The implications include new diplomatic priorities, different assumptions about security, and changing patterns of trade and investment. The book highlights that Europe and the United States still matter, but they face a more competitive environment where influence must be negotiated rather than assumed. It also emphasizes that Asia is not a single bloc. Rivalries among major states, differing political systems, and competing economic models complicate any straightforward narrative. By framing contemporary events within longer historical currents, the book helps readers understand why many governments and firms now design strategies around Eurasian connectivity, resource access, and emerging markets rather than primarily around transatlantic ties. Secondly, infrastructure and connectivity as tools of power. The book treats modern connectivity projects as instruments of statecraft as much as engines of commerce. Large-scale investments in ports, railways, pipelines, roads, and digital networks can redirect trade flows, bind partners into dependency, and reshape regional hierarchies. Frankopan discusses how such projects are used to project influence, secure supply chains, and build political leverage across borders. Connectivity can lower transaction costs and unlock development, but it can also create debt burdens, governance challenges, and strategic vulnerabilities for recipient countries. The analysis explores why governments pursue visibility and control over choke points and corridors, and how competing powers respond with alternative initiatives and partnerships. The theme also clarifies that infrastructure decisions are rarely neutral technical matters. They reflect security calculations, elite incentives, and geopolitical positioning. By following the routes of investment and logistics, the book offers a practical way to see power in motion, showing how maps of transport and data increasingly function like maps of diplomacy and deterrence. Readers come away with a clearer grasp of why seemingly local projects can become flashpoints in global competition. Thirdly, energy, resources, and the geopolitics of supply, energy, and resources form another major threat because modern prosperity and military capability still depend on reliable supply. Frankopan examines how oil, gas, minerals, and other commodities tie together producers, transit states, and consumers across the Middle East, Russia, Central Asia, and East Asia. These ties create both opportunities and constraints. Producer states use exports to fund ambitions and stabilize regimes, while import-dependent economies seek diversified routes and long-term contracts to reduce vulnerability. The book connects resource politics to alliances, sanctions, conflict zones, and investment decisions, highlighting how pipelines, shipping lanes, and refining capacity can be as strategically significant as armies. It also shows how energy markets intersect with domestic legitimacy, where subsidies, employment, and revenue distribution can shape political stability. While the narrative emphasizes hydrocarbons, the broader point is about supply security, who controls extraction, who ensures transport, and who can interrupt flows. Understanding these dynamics helps explain why certain regions remain central to global strategy, why external powers compete for influence there, and why economic shocks in one area can cascade into diplomatic crises elsewhere. Fourthly, Great Power Rivalry and the Return of Regional Contestation. Frankopan portrays a world in which competition among major states is intensifying, but often through indirect means rather than open war. The United States, China, and Russia feature prominently alongside regional players that exploit rivalry to enhance their own autonomy. The book discusses how influence is pursued through military basing, arms sales, intelligence cooperation, economic inducements, and information campaigns. It also highlights contested regions where interests collide, including parts of Central Asia, the Middle East, Eastern Europe, and Maritime Asia. A key takeaway is that rivalry is not confined to traditional battlefields. It extends into standard setting, technology ecosystems, finance, and diplomatic narratives about sovereignty and development. The analysis also notes that regional politics matter enormously because local histories, sectarian divisions, border disputes, and leadership changes can accelerate or derail grand strategies. This topic helps readers see why policy outcomes are often messy and nonlinear, and why alliances can be transactional and temporary. The book encourages a more networked understanding of geopolitics, where multiple actors bargain, hedge, and switch alignments as conditions change. Lastly, the future of the world order and the West's strategic choices. The book ultimately asks what kind of international order is emerging and how Western countries should respond. Frankopan suggests that assumptions formed during the post-Cold War period are increasingly out of sync with realities shaped by Asian growth, multipolar bargaining, and alternative governance models. Rather than predicting a single outcome, the discussion emphasizes uncertainty and contestation. Institutions and norms that once seemed universal face challenges from states that prioritize sovereignty, developmental pragmatism, or sphere of influence thinking. At the same time, interdependence makes total decoupling costly, pushing governments towards selective engagement and risk management. The theme also covers how internal Western debates, including polarization and investment shortfalls, can weaken competitiveness abroad. For readers, the value lies in seeing strategy as a set of choices, invest in domestic renewal, cultivate resilient alliances, engage emerging powers with realism, and understand the motivations of partners beyond familiar Euro-Atlantic frameworks. The book argues that paying attention to the new Silk Roads is not optional because decisions made across Eurasia increasingly shape trade rules, security dilemmas, and the distribution of prosperity. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a big-picture guide to contemporary geopolitics, especially students, policy-curious professionals, investors, and travelers trying to understand why Asia and the regions connecting it are shaping global outcomes. It is also valuable for readers who feel that daily news about sanctions, infrastructure deals, energy shocks, or great power tensions lacks a coherent map. The benefit is practical. The book provides an organizing framework for linking events that otherwise look unrelated, showing how trade corridors, resource dependencies, and strategic partnerships reinforce each other. That perspective can sharpen how you evaluate headlines, assess country risk, or think about long-term career and business decisions tied to international markets. Compared with many books that focus narrowly on a single country or on military competition alone, Frankopan's approach is wider and more connective, emphasizing networks across Eurasia and the Middle East alongside the Indo-Pacific. It is worth buying if you want a historically informed narrative that integrates economics and strategy without assuming the West is always the default center of the story, and if you want a clear sense of why the new routes of power matter now. If you would like to support Peter Frankopan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts.